Welcome in. This Gun Talk Nation is brought to you by Lockdown, Secure Your Lifestyle, and by Springfield Armory. Also, Gun Talk Nation is brought to you by ATN. Optic options from ATN include Smart HD, Ultra HD, thermal and night vision rifle scopes, binoculars, monoculars, rangefinders, goggles, and more. Right now, when you purchase ATN's Binox, X-Sight, Thor 4, or Thor LT, you get a free gift. Like thermal targets, an IR-850 Pro Illuminator. We'll have our guest explain that. The quick detach mount, or even an SD card so you can preserve that hunt of a lifetime. Buy yours today at atncorp.com. So it ties in perfectly because today on Gun Talk Nation, we have Steve Leminoff from ATN. Welcome in, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
So, Steve, we've been working with Steve for many years in ATN, and we've always... It's like, to me, here's the deal with ATN, and I just did the read, but ATN does night vision, thermal, and kind of everything in that world of smart optics. And it seems like over the last 4 or 5 years, the game has changed.
I hope that we had a hand in it. You know,
I see
more and more, you know, people gravitating to digital optics because of the capabilities and what we offer to the shooting community at large. Basically, I think we've undergone a huge transformation, not just for us as a company, but to the industry as well, because there's a whole host of companies that are either emulating us or doing similar things to us, and which is great. It just brings to light that, you know, what we are doing is, you know, holds water, and, you know, we are the future of optics.
Yeah. Right. And I think it's going to be important to explain to our listeners actually what the game is in order for the game to be changed. And I think it's the accessibility to, being able to hunt at night, and having this technology, on your hunt with you,
not only, you know, as the generations kind of transition, right? You have old school, hunter shooters. Yeah. We have the new generation. And we're trying to engage the new generation that is familiar with smartphones, the internet, constantly being connected and constantly trying to showcase their experiences and their lifestyle to their friends, family, their communities. You know, social media is huge nowadays. If you're not on social media, you know, it's really hard to be without social media for a lot of these, you know, young kids nowadays, because that's how, especially right now with COVID-19, that's how they're interacting with their peers, their friends, colleagues.
Well, whatnot. Steve, what you're talking about is the social aspect of it. I mean, and in kind of the younger generation, and maybe getting out of the younger generation, I think it's happening.
But it's about sharing,
it's about sharing your experience and getting the new generation to go hunting. You know, we want to, because the numbers of hunters has been declining over the decades, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to engage the younger people to, you know, carry on the traditions, to go out hunting, to know how to harvest a deer or a turkey, how to quarter it, you know, how to, you know, to get the meat, put meat on the table, to do all those things. But how do you get them to get off video games? Like, I have a, you know, 10-year-old at home, Fortnite all night. You know, it's they want to be with their electronics. They want to engage with their friends. They want to, you know, do the things that they think is cool to them. And I think we kind of, at ATN, we bring kind of a cool factor to the shooting sports, the hunting, because we are giving the new generation the ability to capture all their moments, you know, during shooting, hunting. And I think it's very important, because not only is it, you know, a social aspect where you can share these things, but it's also a training aspect as well. You can learn better by, you know, reviewing your video. Let's say you're at a range, you're trying to teach your son or daughter how to shoot correctly, how to take ethical kills, how to, you know, shot placement. and you know, you're trying to do all those things, but how do you do it without being able to record what they're doing and showing them the mistakes so they could learn from their mistakes and become better hunters, better shooters, and give them a cool factor like, hey, you know, you went on a hunt, you know, with dad this weekend, you could show your buddies exactly what you did, you know, from a first person shooter's perspective. You know, it's very similar to Call of Duty or Fortnite, right, or those games that they're very familiar nowadays, and you know, do it in real life.
We have to take a step back. So we kind of just jumped in with both feet. So if you're listening to this and we just jumped in, we said ATN Optics, okay, here's Steve, and now we're like, what in the world are they talking about? Night vision, thermal, but now they're talking about social media. So these are, you know, I just, what we normally call rifle scopes,
right?
But weapon mounted optics, but also binoculars and other tools for this. But what we're really talking about is the changes in technology with optics, and what the smart HD part of it is, as Ryan sees it, is we have all these extra features. So it's not a traditional optic, yes, with glass and a rector set and all this stuff going on. It's a computer on top of your gun,
right,
but you can record video. You can record.
Use it both day and night. You have ballistic calculator.
There's
a whole slew of optics.
Just,
you know,
look at it,
in there.
Just looking at this is the X-Sight LT. It looks like a normal optic.
Right. I mean, it's KJ's holding up this rifle scope, and it looks like a rifle scope.
Stop it, KJ. The stuff released yet. You can't have that.
A couple extra buttons.
I'm keeping it. But no, it just has a couple extra buttons. But I think the accessibility that ATN has opened up to more hunters, I think, is one of the things that we're kind of burying. Because if you look at a thermal, night vision, all that kind of stuff, 10 years ago, that was out of the reach of normal guys like myself.
Yeah, pricing was
pricing
just,
wise.
I mean, Steve, you're talking, talk about
price was unreachable,
$5,000,
right?
Bucks.
Yeah, Steve, talk about where we were at 10 years ago with this stuff.
I remember selling one of the very first commercial grade thermal scopes at about $15,000 about 10 years ago.
Yeah,
so now you get a decent thermal for about $2,000 less.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a huge, huge, you know, price decrease, and the door has been really swung right open, and so many more people are able to get in the thermal game, get in the night vision game, and do predator control, hog hunting, hog eradication, and, you know, have more hunting opportunities where there was none, because most people were only kind of looking forward to two seasons, right? Spring and fall for spring turkey,
right,
or, you know, fall deer, elk, fall turkey.
Yeah.
It's pretty much
a lot,
right?
Of the
now you can hunt 24/7.
It's year round. Now, Steve, I know this is Gun Talk Nation. So, you know, for those who maybe they're not as much into the hunting thing, although this could really get you into hunting if you discover this, do you have customers that are using this outside of hunting?
Oh, yeah. We have hunters that, you know, not hunters. We have shooters or customers that don't hunt per se. They do pest control. Our scopes are used on air rifles, PCP pneumatic air rifles, for pest control. There's some great videos on YouTube, even on our channel, that, you know, or squirrels, squirrel control, pest control like that. Shooting range, we have guys trying to do long range precision shooting. We have some great MilDot smart reticles in our products that can help reach out and touch someone, know, the target out there with the incorporated ballistic calculator features that we have. So, you know, we have a lot of cool features that, you know, serves a whole, you know, a cross section of users, not just hunters, shooters, pest control individuals that, you know, use it for work, depredation permits, you know.
Well, like,
I know in Hawaii, they have an a population of deer that's like overgrown. And so there's depredation permits.
Yeah.
That
and
they
goats,
get to shoot deer at night. Yeah. With a permit to control the population.
Well, and you guys look at the monoculars, which is essentially just, you know, a single monocular. You're not looking, it's not an optic. It's just
for
viewing
stuff
at night.
Yeah.
Right.
you man, taking that on a dog walk is great because you know what all is out in front of you. You know everything.
So not just that, not, you know.
So your dog's not going to walk up on a skunk or something.
For sure. You don't want that to happen.
No.
But, you know, it has other practical applications as well. Camping, search and rescue, scouting, seeing where your game is. You know, we're actually working on a cool new feature I can't really talk about right now, but I think during the holidays we're gonna release it. You're gonna be very, very impressed, I think, from safety perspective, from a scouting perspective. It's gonna be something that's going to be incorporated in our products using our Bix technology. It's going to be really, I think, really
cool. That's awesome. Well, Ryan, you guys actually did something with one of their binoculars, right? You guys did a little kind of test tell them about that. Tell them how this went down, because this is actually a really cool, like, story. And like, if you're in the boating community at all,
you need
to listen in.
So we were working with ATN several years ago, and we were going to show lots of different uses of the products, night vision and thermal and all that. And one of the subsets of the customers you guys have, Steve, is the search and rescue, right?
Right.
So we thought, okay, for this video, we want to show the search and rescue part. So we got in a boat on this part of the river that's away from all the houses in downtown. Mm-hmm. It's just nothing but marsh out here in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And I put on a life jacket, and I just happened to, at the last minute, put a flashlight with a lanyard around me just so I could kind of shine the boat and let them know where I was or whatever. And they'd do search and rescue with thermal.
All right.
Let me tell you, we're going along, idling along and forward. We put it in neutral. So the boat's still drifting, and we go, okay, everybody ready? I hop out into the water. And
I want to call you out on that. Jumping into the water in Louisiana is a dangerous venture in itself.
Gators.
Do gators show up on thermal? They're cold-blooded. Oh, yeah. How does that work?
No, it doesn't matter.
They do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Thank goodness.
I didn't really think that through, perhaps. But,
there you go. I mean, come on.
I just jumped in. I jumped in, and I swear to God, in 5-7 seconds, the guys in the boat were like, we don't know where he went. And they were like, oh, let me turn on the ATN and find him. But it was freaky for the guys in the boat watching. They're like, he's gone.
He's yeah.
And then they turn on the thermal. They can
and
see
that was the small night. Scale. It's pitch black. You can't see. You know, so no. Definitely.
I mean,
electro-optics that you know has a low light capability, either night vision or thermal technology, definitely helps in search and rescue efforts. Mm-hmm. Not just for law enforcement
and security
or military.
Too. Right?
Just for your consumers can use it. You know, if you're hiking or camping and somebody kind of wanders off and it gets dark or in the evening, it's really a no brainer.
Oh yeah,
and home security too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Home security is big. Yeah. If you have a big property and, regular CCTV cameras, they have very limited ranges, even if you have that capability for your property. But thermal, you have hundreds to thousands of yards of detection and you could, scout and see exactly what's going on.
Well,
so weird things with thermal and night vision. What, just thinking about home security. So let me get this straight, Steve. Thermal will not see through windows, but night vision will. Do I have that
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Different technology, basically thermal. You cannot see through glass or walls or water with thermal. You know, it's Hollywood misconception. You know, Hollywood's been feeding us these cool movies with all these cool capabilities that don't exist really.
Yeah.
But
imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that.
Who would've thought?
Hollywood never lies, right?
Never.
Yeah. But night vision, because it uses near infrared, it's a different light spectrum. So since light is transmitted through glass, you could see through glass using night vision. But if you're using like an infrared illuminator, the light may bounce back and kind of maybe give you like a blooming or a halo effect or kind of distort the image somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to shine a flashlight through a window, it's not as good as if you're outside.
Right, absolutely.
Now, one thing that I will say that and our buddy Greg Lappin, you ask him, like, what are you going to put? What was the one thing that you would have in your home defense, your EDC, you know, someone breaks in, what is the one thing that you would like to have? And the one thing he always says, same thing, the ability to see at night, night vision.
Right.
I mean, can you think like
it gives you a tactical advantage, right? You don't have to shine a flashlight, don't have to reveal your position. You can hide.
They don't know you're there.
You don't know they're there unless they have night vision, but you don't know many crooks that have night vision to interrupt people.
No, but think of how big of a tactical advantage that is for the guy on the other side. That
it's a superpower.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely, it is 100%. Because how many hog hunts have we gone on?
Yeah,
and you're within feet of these animals, and they have no clue that you're there, and you can see them. You can see the finite hairs on these animals. I mean, and so and think of that. If a guy's in your house, guy or gal, whatever, gender neutral, who cares? They're not supposed to be there.
Right.
One of the main things you got to watch out for is what are they holding? Are they holding a cell phone or is it a gun? And you can see that. You will be able to see that
for sure.
100%.
For sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, and we do have to think about all the fun stuff we've done in the field. Hunting at night, and I've said it before, it is just, if you enjoy hunting, this is like next level
fun.
Adrenaline rush, definitely, because the uncertainty, right? You don't know where that hog or coyote will jump out of, right? Mm-hmm. You know, which bush or which side. And it's really it's very different. Let me just put it that way.
That thermal, oh my goodness, the thermal does not lie. It can be in the thickest brush and all you have is one little tiny, you know, white dot
hot spot,
like one heat signature, like a real small heat signature,
right,
in the thickest of grass, and that is going to be an animal
like
or
fog,
something registering heat.
So smoke or fog, thermal's great. You could, you know, could penetrate and see through some fog, and you know, some, you know, depending on the density of the smoke or fog, you could see through that, light brush, bushes, you know, tall grass, and really, you know, elevate your game, and you could detect you know, whatever you're hunting, coyotes or hogs, or you know,
thermal,
depending on the state, you know, what's allowed, you know, to be used, you know, for hunting. So
along those lines, Steve, thermal is absolutely valid for daytime use. I mean,
you got to be careful. You got to be careful because, you know, some states, you know, don't allow any kind of electronic devices.
Okay.
So you want to be careful.
You got to be careful DNR. About that.
Yeah.
Thermal's great because day and night. You have a hard time seeing a deer or a hog
in a brush,
through brush.
Right.
You could, you know, with thermal, you'll be able to see them.
I actually do have a funny story about, you know, uses, and it brings up Steve's point exactly. Right. You've got to make sure those state laws are abided by, because I had a buddy who hunts with my uncle quite a bit. He was up in Kansas, and that's what he was doing. He was going and using thermal to look in these mesquite thickets, like just little patches.
Right.
Of, I mean, they're out in the open prairie and they're real thick and deer like to bed in those. Mm-hmm. And so he would go by and look at them and, no deer
with
in there.
Handheld?
Next. Yeah. With a handheld. Mm-hmm. Now he wasn't shooting with the thermal, but it was, and DNR busted him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he lost his like ability to purchase a license for 10 years in the state of Kansas.
That stinks.
Because of this. So,
but it's illegal to use an electronic device for hunting or for scouting or anything.
Hey, and that's what he was doing it to say, okay, yeah, let's do a deer drive. Like, let's walk out and like actually see what's in that instead of like, but I went to Iowa with a game warden and used the monocular to, you know, scan, you know, woods and, oh yeah, there's deer in there. And it was legal. Iowa. So,
and, you know, it's a great reminder, state by state, you have to, it's one of the, I guess, frustrations when it comes to hunting stuff, and going back to our conversation about getting more people involved in hunting.
Yeah.
Right. It's a little bit of a frustration because it can be confusing.
And because the laws are different from state to state, you can't even use, I guess, the same types of weapons also state to state. Some have restrictions on, you know, what type of, you know, shotgun shells or, center fire calibers you could use for various game. So, you know, us as shooters and hunters, we have to be on top of these really convoluted, complex laws, you know, and especially if we're going out of state, you know, not in our home state to hunt, it makes it that much more difficult because you got to research and do your due diligence when you're going out of state, you know.
Yeah. Now, Steve, we've really hammered this ATN stuff, and for the folks that are listening, your accent isn't quite Midwestern. It's not quite Southern.
Not quite.
give us a little bit of background because I was pleasantly shocked. I mean, you're a shooter, and give us a little bit of your background. We didn't really dive into that. We just jumped straight into it.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah,
actually,
yeah, absolutely.
Kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I've known you guys for forever now, I think. And, you know, I haven't really, you know, divulged too much of my personal information. But yeah, originally I'm from the Ukraine, a former Soviet socialist republic. So what's going on here in the U.S. right now is kind of frightening to me because my family and I, we kind of escaped all that back in the late 80s. And I don't want to see the same thing happening here for obvious reasons because, sorry, I don't want to be political here, but communism is not the way to go. Having said that, I have been a shooter or in the shooting sports since I was a kid. Back in the old country, my dad used to take me to a pellet like or air rifle range. I used to practice and shoot the candles, the fire off the candles. And
oh, really?
Cool. That's cool.
With the older folks. So, and then when I came here, you know, when my family came here to the States and moved to the Bay Area in California, I had a classmate who actually went to a shooting range, which was located in San Francisco of all places, which is very shockingly, it's the San Francisco Gun and Rod Club. And I had, which I was really interested in, like, I was kind of shocked, like, wow, it's something that I've really loved, you know, since my, you know, younger days. And I wanted to, you know, continue with that. So I joined the club and I had a great coach by the name of Paul Callahan, who used to be a director of operations in Ames at NASA. And he used to coach youths and kids shooting sports on the weekends. So there is a indoor range at this facility. They had a skeet range and an indoor range for 22LR. And we would practice and compete and have a don't want to brag, but have a few shooting medals under my belt. So I've been doing it for quite a while, and joining the ATN team about 14 years ago was a dream job for me. You know,
So Steve, I
got into the industry which I have, you know, passion for and love, and just putting my shooting skills to practice, and you know, with optics. So it's been fantastic.
What's the value of youth shooting sports since you participated in it?
It teaches you a lot of, you know, valuable things that I think every person needs in life. Responsibility, patience, listening skills. I think it's a valuable trait or skill that a lot of people, even in our youths, lack. Listening to instruction and being able to follow instructions, and safety, and just a whole host of things that I think, you know, which go in hand with other sports like football, baseball, is just another way to focus kids, youths in the positive direction.
Right.
And I think you're right. And I think there's another level to it too, Steve, because when it comes to shooting sports, kids are given even more responsibility because you're handed a gun, whether that's a pellet gun or a 22 or, you know, trap gun or something like that. And they're expected to listen, and there's really zero tolerance for being a knucklehead, don't you think?
Right. No, you can't mess around because you have people's lives in your hands for all intents and purposes, because a mistake can be fatal. And, you know, you want to practice and be responsible and not have any of those mistakes, because those mistakes are not reversible. It's not like, you know, in the football where you miss a catch or there's a fumble, you could, you know, have another play.
Right.
If God forbid you a weapon fire discharges and you didn't intend it to discharge and it hits somebody. Yeah, that's a big problem.
Well, and from what, you know, from our conversations with parents and coaches of youth shooting teams and that kind of thing, they say that usually the kids rise to the occasion. I think there's been some apprehension for some parents, maybe because, well, my kid's a goofball or whatever, but they really want to do this and I let them. And they're usually all going, man, I was surprised we let them do this and he or she is really taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Well, I think parents don't give their kids enough credit sometimes. Kids tend to rise to the occasion. And when you give them proper instruction and express to them the gravity of what they're about to undertake and the responsibility and the weight that it carries with them, you know, in case, you know, God forbid, there is a fatal mistake like that, they tend to listen more. They tend to take, you know, more responsibility and want to do their best and, you know, not to have problems like that or issues like that and be a good shooter, be a responsible gun owner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my earliest memories, and it stuck with me, just the gravity of what you're dealing with and the responsibility that you have in your hands, was my dad taking me out in the backyard, setting up a line of Coke cans and saying, okay, here's your pellet gun. I want you to show you.
And I've actually started that with my kids also. Yeah. My daughter and my son.
Like, oh my God.
And they love it. And they constantly ask me, you know, it's a lot of fun under, you know, proper supervision, safe environment. It's a lot of fun.
But it kind of gives kids like a awakening, like this can cause damage and this is just a Coke can, you know, it's not a life or, you know, it's just, oh yeah, that lesson stuck with me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to be, you know, and you're right. Kids do rise to the occasion, but you know, it's got to be on the parents. A lot of it has to be on the parents to entrust that with their, you know, with their kids and other coaches.
Definitely got to raise them right, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So Steve, I know you've been on some hunts with ATN products, a lot of night stuff. Any stories that come to mind, or was there a first experience doing some night hunting or one that was memorable?
I think one of my first kind of memorable, I honestly didn't get anything. It was in the Florida Everglades, but I got to ride a cool propeller boat. And the guy that I was with grabbed a gator, a small gator, out of the water and dropped it into our boat, which was kind of interesting and fun. And then
just a live gator?
Yeah, just a live gator. It was with his bare hands. And I was like, wow, you know.
This guy's crazy.
That guy was crazy. That was years back. But no, I've had some great times with you guys in Louisiana with Shane's crew and Sean Shane from Ruguru. There's been a lot of good memories.
I'll tell you this. You don't want to sleep on Steve. If they say go, you better start shooting immediately because he'll get the jump on you. He says 1, 2, 3, go. And okay, we're all shooting on go, right? 1, 2, boom, 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 boom. And he's already shooting and he's hitting all of them. So you don't sleep on Steve. No. That's what I learned.
I learned it from Sean because Sean always, you know, he never waits for the countdown. You know, he just starts plowing those things.
Yep. Yeah.
And then everyone's going, oh, dang it. All right. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Yep.
Another thing when you talk about like hog hunting specifically is it is hunting, but I know Shane, one of the pro shooters, pro hunters that you guys deal with, he says, look, it's not hunting. It's eradication. Because these are pests. These are not, this is not the same as a deer or an elk or something like that.
No. Yeah. They're invasive species that damage millions of dollars worth of crops to farmers every single year. And
what is it? Lionfish that are causing so much problems for the reefs and stuff. And,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's the same thing, just different venue.
Absolutely.
What it is.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And you know, we as responsible hunters and shooters, you know, we could take part and help control this, this problem.
Steve, thanks using for being on with us, man.
Like ATN, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to do a shameless plug also, you know, right now in August, we're doing some great promos at atncorp.com. You listeners, you know, take a look. We have some great offerings to show you.
We'll put a link in the description so people can click through but atncorp.com, you can buy the stuff on their website. Obviously, you guys sell it at all the other online retailers.
Bass Pro, Cabela's, you name it. You know, we're all over the place. Yeah, yeah.
But it's
find a reputable reseller for sure. You know, there's unfortunately, we've actually been targeted recently on Facebook with scammers from China. You know, trying to scam some of our customers by pretending to run ads from ATN at the deep discounts, and we've been fighting it for a week. So be careful where you buy from. Seek out reputable, authorized resellers.
That must mean you guys are doing something right when the China
probably
knockoff
right
guys are coming for you. Unfortunately,
you know, today's day and age, right?
Yeah,
man.
Well, good deal, man. I love talking night vision and thermal and all that stuff. And I think going back to whether you're a hunter or whether it's pest control or whether it's just home security. Heck, we were even talking, this doesn't maybe pertain to Gun Talk Nation, but ATN has a product for, for if you're an employer and you want to be able to auto-scan.
Yeah, if you're a business.
That's a big one. I'm sorry. The thermal fever scanner. That's big. That's
neat.
That's something that we really didn't touch on a whole lot in this podcast, but man, I'm like, that's for everybody now. If you have a business, man, that thing, the ATN, was it Thermal Entry Wizard?
Entry Wizard. Right.
Yeah. The Entry Wizard. Look it up. It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. It's neat. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you guys next time on Gun Talk Nation.